As was just mentioned, we are just looking at the second petition today, like, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come. But Matthew 6, we'll begin reading in verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains the same. So thy kingdom come. One of the difficulties of our forefathers in the faith has been conceiving of the kingdom of God as a spiritual kingdom. So often our forefathers would think of it as an earthly kingdom. Many of the saints in the Old Testament, in the intertestamental times, even Christ's own disciples in the Gospels in the early first century, all had a view that the Messiah was to come to establish an earthly kingdom and to rule and reign in the physical world. Right? We find the 12 disciples often thinking in earthly terms about the Messiah and his reign, right? Calling down fire from heaven or grabbing swords and slashing ears and so forth. Even today, some of our transformationalist brothers and sisters view that they are bringing the kingdom of God to this earth through slow transformation throughout time. And in some ways, it's easy to understand. We're a physical people. We're a carnal people. We often think the physical world is certainly more real than the spiritual. The fact is, the spiritual is just as real, if not more real. The kingdom in which our Savior rules and reigns is more real. But it's not a geopolitical earthly kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. It's also not the only spiritual kingdom. There is also the kingdom of Satan. There's the kingdom of Satan that will be destroyed. That's going to be our first point. And then there is also the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which we'll deal with in two points. It's how it is already on the earth and how we pray for its hastening, how it is not yet on the earth as well. And so when we pray that thy kingdom come, we pray that the kingdom of God would come, we are not praying for this geopolitical kingdom this side of glory. Instead, we are praying that Satan and his kingdom would be destroyed. We are praying that the kingdom that is already in earth, existent primarily through the church, would continue to make spiritual advancement around the globe, bringing in unbelievers. And we are also praying for the hastening of the return of Christ to bring his kingdom to consummation, to the fulfillment of it, as he has promised. And so we'll consider this petition under those three headings. So first, we are praying that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed. This is a kingdom that all of mankind, by nature, are citizens of. Our spiritual nature, apart from Christ and apart from his redemption, is that we are slaves of sin and Satan. Ephesians 2 tells us, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." So yes, by nature, we followed the prince of the power of the air. We followed King Satan in his satanic kingdom. We were unable to do good and only able to sin before we knew the love and the freedom of Jesus Christ. And this being our nature and having the character as a citizen of the kingdom of Satan, we were sinners. That was our primary identity. And this is what Ephesians 2 tells us. We were sinners. We were not simply having some bad habits. It wasn't that we were the results of our environment or that we just made some faux pas and mistakes along the way, but we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And that is the human condition apart from Christ, which all mankind lives out. And that is the character of one who is a citizen of the kingdom of Satan. Now that might sound odd. We don't typically talk about the kingdom of Satan. Though we did just read, he is a prince. He is the prince of the power of the air. And his kingdom is a real spiritual kingdom. One that is everything contrary to the will of God. And everything that is under the power of the devil. And it is a real power. It should really be taken seriously. It might also sound odd to speak of Satan as a king. Rest assured, his kingly power is only exercised by the permission of God. The devil is God's devil. He has the devil on a leash. The devil and his power are clearly shown in the early chapters of Job. Recall how Satan must ask permission to do his satanic will to Job. So we see that even Satan's kingly power cannot be exercised beyond what the Lord permits. I guess in this sense, it's not that these two kingdoms are equals at war. One of them already rules over the other. And so Satan's power cannot be exercised beyond what the Lord permits. We also see a foretaste of this as the God-man, Jesus Christ, rules and reigns over Satan and his minions because he's the one who would cast out demons. Satan has power, yes. That's why we put on the full armor of God to stand against his power. But Jesus rules over Satan and his minions, and they are doomed for total destruction. So part of what we pray for when we say just those three words every week in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, part of what we are praying for in Christ's kingdom come is the negative side of that, which is the kingdom of Satan being destroyed. And how, when we pray that, how are we praying for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed? By the work of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:8, very simply, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. These works of the devil, they are not destroyed by us. This is why, one, it's why we pray. If we could destroy the works of the devil, we wouldn't need to pray. But these works are destroyed by the Lord. These works of the devil are not destroyed by man. That's why we do put on the spiritual armor every day. We cannot of our own do so. I know a lot of folks tend to think that mankind is progressing and we're getting less and less evil. We're getting more and more good, right? Some sort of evolutionary progression of mankind, right? Look, we don't worship stone idols anymore. Yet we still commit idolatry. Just because Satan cannot trick us to worship stone does not mean that he cannot trick us to be idolatrous. Mankind on his own cannot progress to defeat the kingdom of Satan. And so rather, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, must subdue and conquer this kingdom, eventually destroying it for all time. And so we pray for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed by the work of Christ through his life, death, and resurrection when we pray, thy kingdom come. We read of it a second ago in Psalm 68, as it was prophesied, God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men. And so this destruction then comes about by the power of the Lord being exercised in the already, not yet, kingdom of grace and kingdom of glory. And so we are praying for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed. How? By the advancement of the kingdom of grace around the world prior to the second coming of Christ. So here's our second point. The kingdom of grace advanced. It's the already kingdom. And here we pray, really, that the means of grace would flourish on the earth. That through ministers, through the ministers who are missionaries, as they preach the gospel, that salvation would be made known and Satan's kingdom broken. citizens of his kingdom, translated from darkness to light. This means we should fervently pray for those nations in which Satan has a foothold and does not allow the gospel of Christ to come in. We pray then that we think of nations like Eritrea, Iran, China, North Korea that need our prayers, that Satan and his minions would be subdued. And we pray because only Jesus Christ has the power to open the doors of the gospel in these nations. So we pray that Christ would open these doors, that the gospel may enter in and Satan's kingdom be destroyed and the gospel of grace advanced into the dark parts of the world. So to that end, we pray for churches around the world. And we pray, as people are saved and the means of grace is through preaching, we pray then that these churches around the world would be furnished with ministers, with elders, with deacons. We pray that the means of grace would go forth uninhibited and purely, that the preaching of the gospel would be clear, right? A clarion call of Christ trumpeted around the world, that the sacraments would be rightfully dispensed, and that prayer would be available and had. It is the Holy Spirit through these primary, ordinary means that he works to spread the kingdom of grace. So as we pray, we are moved then to encourage men to gospel ministry. We are encouraged to financially contribute to their education and support. There are plenty of vacant pulpits around the globe. So we pray that these men would be educated to go preach Christ and to bring the kingdom to places without the means of grace. We also, to that end, pray for our own local church as well. We prayerfully and financially support our own local church and its own growth too. And we pray for this concept, which is found in Matthew 9:38. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Right, we are praying for laborers. We are praying especially for ministers to go forth. Right, the fields are ripe. We need to pray thy kingdom come that the ministers may harvest the fields. And we say this because too often we think of programs as the answer or something to that effect. But the biblical answer for the advancement of God's kingdom is the means of grace, especially the Lord's laborers going forth and spreading them. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're also praying to this end, not only for missionaries and ministers to go out and to give light and salt to all the earth. We are also praying in thy kingdom come that our own church, and our own churches, our own denomination, all the gospel preaching churches you want to pray for, we are praying for those in thy kingdom come that we would be purged of all vestiges, any remnants, any bits of Satan's kingdom that may still be in us. We are praying that our churches would be pure, that we may then be good servants to go out and advance the kingdom. The Reformation was not a one-and-done thing. It was not a one-time thing. The church reformed. The Reformed church must always be reforming because if you know the history, you know how many churches have succumbed to the lies of Satan and his kingdom. How whole denominations have ceased to be pure churches of Christ and have become synagogues of Satan. They have had their lampstands removed. And thus we must make it a practice that God would not allow the leaven of corruption to enter in, but that we would be kept from it and we would be pure in order that the kingdom of grace would be advanced, that Trinity would be a beacon shining in the darkness to others. But of course, if we are corrupted by these satanic lies, we become, our light is dimmed, and we become more and more useless, like salt that is to be thrown out, that has lost its flavor. And so we aim then also toward the eschatological goal of Ephesians 5:27, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And as the kingdom of grace advances and it flourishes, We recognize it flourishes by the ordinances of Christ as they are purely dispensed. And so we do pray then for our own laborers, for our own ministers, that they may preach the gospel rightly and not be impeded by Satan and his kingdom. Our own minister would administer the sacraments, that the session would exercise church discipline properly. So we pray for the Holy Spirit's work even in our own hearts and for our own churches. And so we pray that all the elect may be brought in. We are praying that the Holy Spirit would use these means that he has set out to advance his kingdom of grace, which comes to our third very brief point, that we pray for the kingdom of glory to be hastened. We long for the quick return of our Savior. We pray that the consummation of the kingdom would come, thy kingdom come. And so as we pray for the hastening of that kingdom, when Jesus Christ returns, he will bring it in its fullness to us. This is the way the Apostle John concludes Revelation. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And so we also rightly pray for Christ's return when we pray, thy kingdom come. When we pray for it as this, and as we pray for a hastening of the kingdom of glory to come, that is not to say that we are praying for Christ to return sooner than is planned. It's not that we are asking him to return before all the elect have been made known. No, but we are praying for the hastening of that time when all the elect would be made known. And once they are, the Savior may return. And so we pray for his hastening. So we see then, there is a lot, as all these petitions are, there is a lot packed into the simple prayer, thy kingdom come. We recognize the kingdom of God as a kingdom opposed to the kingdom of Satan. How all of mankind are by nature citizens of this kingdom of Satan. But by the redemptive work of Christ, we may be translated to the kingdom of God as our Lord and Savior conquers the kingdom of Satan. And so we can rest assured in the already not yet conquering of this king and his kingdom. We know Christ is coming back and that he will finally conquer Satan and his minions and throw them into the pit of hell forever. And we can know that because he has already conquered. In fact, we can consider even when Satan tempts him face to face and how our Savior overcame such temptation and did not give in. We look at how our Savior lived the perfect life, garnering all righteousness, as we talked about his act of obedience this morning. We talk about his forgiveness of sins by his life, garnering all righteousness and forgiveness for his people through his death on the cross. And even though he remained under the power of death for 3 days, even though the prince of the power of the air, the king of the kingdom of Satan, thought he had won, our king resurrected. And in doing so, he conquered Satan and his kingdom. And thus, we are now citizens who labor for the kingdom of God on this earth, not for a physical nation, but advancing a spiritual nation, a spiritual kingdom that is conquering all around the world. So it's a mouthful, but let us think of these things. Let them be brought to mind as we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we pray, thy kingdom come, as we long for the return of our Savior. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, let's pray. Our Lord, bring us into the habit of praying, thy kingdom come. Let us consider it daily. Let us consider those around us who are still citizens of the kingdom of the evil one. But let us live such as citizens of your kingdom, Lord, that we may draw those out, that your Spirit would use us to draw them out. We pray for the vacant pulpits and of the churches around the world. We pray, Lord, that you would impress a great call and a burden upon men to be trained and sent to preach in these pulpits, that your gospel may go out, that it would not be hindered by vacancy in pulpits. We pray that your Spirit would work mightily in these places around the world. But we pray that you would answer our prayer, that your kingdom would come, and that we would have an open ear for listening to revivals happening around the world. And we pray that these ordinary means of grace would be extraordinarily used by you, and that your Spirit would be at work through a simple gospel, through the simple sacraments, through simple prayer. And Lord, we pray that our Savior may return quickly to bring us all home to that eternal place of peace and prosperity. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond by singing Psalm 67b, O God, show mercy to us. Psalm 67b. O God, show mercy to us and bless us with your grace and cause to shine upon us the brightness of your face so that whole world over may truly know your way and so that your salvation and say displayed, O God.